As Christians, we're not immune from the tragedies of life, but we're to be encouraged through our faith in Jesus Christ. Here's Mike with more.
It's difficult for a non-believer to think that God would want you to go through something that's painful, sad. But we do go through those things. And the Lord uses those things to humble us and to shape us, to bring good character. But as a godly woman and as a godly man, we don't need exterior things to comfort us. We have the person, the Holy Spirit, and He knows how to comfort us.
And I'll stand up and shout and praise You, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing and I'll thank You, Lord Jesus.
It's great to have you with us for Chapter and Verse Radio with Mike McIntosh as we continue our look through the Gospel of Mark. Mike taught this series at Calvary Tustin in California. God has put a calling in each one of our lives. At one point in our lives, we were spiritually dead due to the sin in our lives. But when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we became dead to sin and alive to Christ. Our prayer is that these studies will encourage you on your daily journey with the Lord. Now let's join Mike for our message here on Chapter and Verse as we turn to the first chapter of the book of Mark.
I'll tell you why I'm here. I'm on assignment. I know the Lord wants to bring revival. And I know that our country is ready to be judged. And He just needs a handful of people that'll pour their hearts out to Him. And He'll use us. He uses the foolish to confound the wise. And so, not many mighty among you, Paul said to the Corinthians, look among you. This is where God gets glorified. So, I'm not here just to do a Bible study. I'm here for a purpose. And I felt like a kid waiting for Christmas to open up tonight. The last 3 days, I've just been going crazy. I wish Sunday night were here. I just want to be there with those people. Because I know that the Holy Spirit is speaking. And you're here because you heard Him speak. Now, I asked people on my Facebook last night, if you would mind praying, because something special is happening here. Last week, it was very special. And there was about 2,250 people that said they'll be praying. There's people all over the country. Right now, on the radio, Calvary Radio Network comes out of Chicago. Its tower is on the highest building in Chicago. There's 25 stations in 25 different areas of the Midwest. And you could just say hi to all those people that are listening right now. Hello! Isn't that cool? That's cool, I think. And they're doing that as a gift. They want to be a part of what's going to happen and what is happening. Now, I met these three people right over here from Texas. They came all the way from Texas. Oh, you didn't. You live here. They came too, yes. They live an hour and a half, is this correct? An hour and a half west of Fort Worth? 648 people in your town? Well, there's 646 right now because the two of you are here, right? Yeah. Oh, isn't that cool? They watch World News Briefing and they heard us announce it Sunday nights. Barry's opened up his church's auditorium for us. So I want to thank all of you for coming because we all have something else we probably could do. But I've traveled for many, many years around the world from war zones and jungles and to really bad places to really good places. And I just know in my heart something is going to happen. The Lord has every right to bring final judgment upon our country. We have turned from God as a people. It just breaks my heart to see how they've been engineered to turn from God. And the devil has just not fake news. He's got fake world. The whole thing's a fake. But if you love the Lord, and not asking anything from you, but if you would pray, I just have seen God do tremendous miracles through prayer. And I know many of you have, but we have a lot of real intercessor prayer people around the country that are praying for Sunday nights. And somebody wrote and said it was like electricity in the air last week. Well, I think there was a short in electrical. The lights are out, if you take them. But unfortunately, the devil doesn't want us to go out on. I was just told that something broke down with the equipment that it can't be streamed live, and there are people that were going to be watching on the internet tonight. So We're sorry to have that happen. But maybe just so I can make this announcement, because when I first went to San Diego, there was only 10 people in the living room, but it was something special. I just knew it was special. I offered Chuck Smith Jr. to come with me one time and give it to him that he is a pastor, I'm an evangelist. And at the end, there's 25 people the night he came, I think, and instead of accepting it, he prayed and said, "Lord, you've anointed Mike to be here in San Diego," and I said, all the way back to Orange County, "Chuck, why did you do that? I mean, I brought a lot of people down and said, why don't you take this? I'm not a pastor." But it was so unique. There's a proverb that I got very early, and it says, "First prepare your field without, and then build your house." Most people like to build their big house and say, "Look at my big house." But if you do all your preparation outside, then you have a good foundation for what's going to happen. And I have felt that my first 45 years of service has been preparing for the end. And I know Pastor Chuck wanted to go in the rapture, but he was needed up there to get some things ready for all of us to do what we're going to do with the Lord. And we're very grateful for what God has done in all of our lives. We want to be thankful. And so tonight, as we're in chapter 1, we're going to pick up where we left off last week at verse 29. Hopefully, just go to the very last verse of this chapter. There's a lot of healings in these stories that are going to pop up. And if you weren't here last week, the thing I like about Mark is it's got this word immediately written in it. And I gave you an assignment last week. How many times is the word immediately in the first two chapters? In fact, some of you in the New King James, it's immediately. Some of you may have "and right away" or "a non," A space N-O-N, "anon" or A-N-O-N. It's the same word for immediately. There's an immediacy. When the first time I read through the book of Mark, I picked it up. This is an immediate gospel for right now. When Jesus touched somebody, immediately they were healed. When Jesus prayed, immediately something happened. In fact, I'll let you count the number of immediately's. It's kind of fun. And then when you parallel the word immediately to what was immediate, you begin to see that there isn't any area of life that God can't and won't step into with you. And by the time, if the Lord allows us to finish, you'll see there isn't any kind of person, old, young, male, female, sick, dying, on deathbed, or full of health and strength in the military, that God won't talk to and won't save their soul. Now, I mentioned a man that I knew pretty well that was dying. He died since last Sunday, and I did his funeral service for him. It was very hard to do on a Friday morning out in the Palm Desert area, because I trust that God answered years of prayers, but when I looked at his family and his friends that were there, they were all so lost. Eternal life was just something foreign to them. And we are the light, and we should not let eternal life be foreign to anybody. And so it breaks my heart to think that he's not in heaven. But I'm going to trust the Lord that he answered his wife's prayers and alcohol ruled his life. And to celebrate his death, his family and friends went to a beer hall afterwards to drink. I said, "You guys, holy moly. You have friends, I have friends. Not everybody's going to live forever. But our hearts should be broken when we know that there's somebody that doesn't know Jesus and we have an opportunity to share him. If it's just in a kind deed or word, if you're bashful or shy, it can be a silent prayer. Silent prayers can do a lot of damage to the kingdom of darkness. And you interceding in people's lives, and chains can fall and prison doors will open up. So our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. We're just so grateful to you that you love all of us. Lord, there isn't one perfect person here in this auditorium or listening on the radio network. There are none of us, but we are forgiven people. And sometimes we forget that we're forgiven and we're settled, but we forget about other people. Would you fire our spirits up with your Holy Spirit to realize that Revelation says the bride has prepared herself and made herself ready? We must be about your business, Father, before Jesus comes back. And so as this world is falling apart all around us, it's a world of flame. Lord God, Would you inspire us to be doers of the word, not just hearers, but that we would all reevaluate our calendars and what's important to us, and the hours we can be on our phone and the few minutes we can be in the Bible. Help us restructure our relationship with you, Lord, that your love would overwhelm us. You'd baptize us with the power of your Holy Spirit and free us from self. You give us a heart to love people. Lord, that you'd open up doors that we couldn't imagine would ever be opened up. But to walk in an open door and not know where we are is kind of a waste of your time and our time. So teach us to be aware of where we are and why we're there. And it could be that one person that desperately needs salvation. And if it's nothing more for us to be in that room with them, silently praying for them, make us sensitive vessels. Let us not be lovers of self or lovers of money. Let us be recognized as lovers of God. And Lord Jesus, we don't deserve what you went through. We don't deserve the forgiveness that we get because of what you paid. But we want to thank you tonight. And Lord Jesus, help us to follow you as we saw last week when the fishermen were called. Make us fishers of men. And let our lives be sparked with a new energy and a new strength and a new joy. That our life is nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Wake your church up in our country, Lord. Wake the pastors up. Wake your people up, Lord. And have mercy on our country. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All righty. We're at verse 29. I'll just read a couple of verses ahead. We'll come right into this. Verse 21, let's lead up to it, where we left off. Then they went into Capernaum, a small town, the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. And there's the word immediately. That's not the first one in this chapter. Immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and he taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And we pointed out last week how interesting in a house of worship there are people possessed with demons. And not everybody that goes into a church building knows God. I know I'm not a Catholic. If you saw how big my family was, you'd think I was either Mormon or a Catholic, but I'm not. But when I'm in New York City, I like to go to St. Peter's and sit in there and pray for some reason. When I was there at 9/11 and helping the officers keep their sanity, we would go. There was a church, it's still there, it's the oldest church in, one of the oldest in the country, George Washington used to attend. It's right next to Ground Zero. And there is a cemetery right beside this old church, and it goes back to the beginning of our country, some of the people that are buried there. And one night I took a shortcut to Ground Zero and went through the police barricade there, and the Christians of that church were serving meals to the firefighters and to the cops. And I thought, that's so much like our church in San Diego. We always do that kind of stuff. And it blessed me. When I wanted to just, before I got back down to Ground Zero, I wanted to look inside and see history. And what I saw was exhausted police officers and firefighters in full gear. No matter if you're a cop or a firefighter, full gear, laying on the floor, stretched out, crying to the Lord, laying in the pews, trying to sleep. Men, women up on the platform, calling on God to spare our country. This is an amazing thing to see and to know. Then I wonder how many prayers in the 1700s were made from that same spot for God to bless America, to bless our country. We have had a really wonderful country to live in, and it was the people who made it really wonderful. The land is just unbelievable, and it produced so much. But we don't have all that goodness now because others have come inside with other gods and idols And we're a small remnant. And we can see that the mood is changing. Recently, in London last week, there's a picture on the internet of a police officer arresting a man for standing on the street reading the Bible out loud. While right across the street, you can see Muslims on their prayer rugs bowing down and praying to their God. But they arrested the Christian man. In Canada, Barry shared this on World News Briefing 2 weeks ago, that it is illegal for Christian schools and colleges to propagate the biblical view of things because it doesn't match up with the gay, lesbian, transgender, whatever. It's hate speech. That's in Canada. And things are turning quickly here too. But our God's more powerful than anything that's dark or evil. And he that is in us is greater than he that is in this world. And we don't ever forget that. David knew that when he went after Goliath. And if you think David was some big buffed guy, I bet when we see him, he's going to look like Barney Fife from Mayberry. He's going to be a little skinny guy that, because God wouldn't get the glory out of a muscle-bound teenager. And many of you have been to Israel, and you know when you get down into the valley there where the Philistines were on one side of the mountains yelling at the Israelites. Well, Saul heard that this kid was there, embarrassed the king, and the kid was willing to fight the giant. Everybody's afraid of him. So he says, put on my armor. Well, he puts on this old guy's armor. It's too big. The helmet doesn't fit. He says, hey, look, when my dad had me out taking care of his sheep, I caught a bear with one of my dad's lambs, and I took a club, and I beat him. And I saved that lamb. Another time, a lion came, and I got him by the hair of his chinny chin chin, and I popped him a few and got that lamb away. So who is this uncircumcised Philistine? How dare him defy the armies of the living God? It took a boy or a teenager to bring positive words into the ears of the Israelites and to stir their hearts again. And I've been there several times, and I've wondered every time there, and I've even tried it. It's a riverbed, so you got river rock everywhere. For that kid to be running, you'd be twisting your ankle. You'd have to be watching where you're running. And I don't know that his legs were that strong, but he was an outdoors guy. And he's running. I think the Lord cleared the path for him. But to then get his sling and let that rock go, here's a guy 9 feet tall. Doesn't sound like much. I'm 6 feet tall, but add half of me on top of me. And there I am with my 10-foot spear ready for you to come at me. And the giant just made fun of him. What am I, a dog? What's going on here? This little punk is coming out here? I'll feed your flesh to the birds. And David says, oh, yeah. Now he's talking on the run. Oh, yeah? Now he wasn't 5 or 10 feet away because he's running to get to this guy. And that guy is so about himself. He just thinks that nobody could ever, his ego is so big, nobody could ever beat him. And he's like concrete. David's using that against him. He's agile and he's ready to go whatever direction. And I think that when he let that go, probably his bicep, his tricep, his lat muscles, his side muscles, and they probably weren't that strong. And, you know, to be able to run and then to aim at a target uphill, I don't know that stone was going fast enough or if it even was going close, but I could see an angel or the Lord, just his unseen hand, pushing right, said, up, get up there. And now think of it, it went into his brain and killed him. So it broke the outer shell of the brain. That's pretty strong. But I think when the rock got to its destination with his effort, the Lord easily just went like that, and that rock went through and killed that giant. David was ready for anything, and he knew that God could and would do it if it stood for righteousness. He wasn't a perfect person, but he was a man that got up and went to battle when it was time to go to battle. So we talked last week also about these spirits and demons and people that we have seen be delivered around the world and how God can do these miracles. And we pointed out, and maybe some of you have never thought of this before, I'll just hit it quickly. The man's in the synagogue, unclean spirit, he personally won. He cried out saying, quote, let us, plural, alone. What have we, plural, to do with you? Is he talking about there's more demon-possessed people in the synagogue to upset the believers? Or is there a bunch of them inside of him? Jesus of Nazareth. So they recognize who he is. Did you come to destroy us, plural. Now listen to this. I know who you are, singular, the Holy One of God. Isn't that interesting? When it gets down to darkness, recognizing who Jesus is, probably El Diablo is right there saying, I know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, I was very educated in the last two trips I took to northern Iraq while ISIS was still there. And I talked to many survivors, and I talked and helped debrief a lot of the women that were kidnapped and raped and beaten and sold as sex slaves. And the one thing that I heard from two of the governors up in that area was the people in Mosul. Mosul is the biblical Nineveh. And it's the first time in over 2,000 years that the gospel hasn't been there. And that's why they took that city. They wanted to revise history by destroying anything to do with Nineveh, the Bible, Jehovah, Yahweh, Israel, biblical history. They destroyed it. They want that whole area of the world to be a brand new place for the New World Order, that there'll be nothing about Jesus or Christianity in the New World Order. So they paid spies way ahead of time to go through that big city and to mark that little half line and a hash mark up here. And usually you see a bumper sticker or black t-shirt, and it's usually in gold. And that's the letter N in the Arabic alphabet. And what that meant, when the ISIS guys came, the JV team as they were called, they came into the city, they went to those houses, because that N meant a Nazarene is here, and they're going to kill him. They wanted the Christians first. They went to the pastors and their wives and children and killed them in front of their neighbors first. Then they went to the houses down the streets one by one and brought the people out. And notice this. It wasn't just any Jesus they were looking for. They're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. The devil is very specific. We don't care if it's Jesus Gonzalez or Jesus somebody else or Jesus Christ Superstar. But Jesus of Nazareth, if you believe in him, off with your head. So that was a real educator to me, that he was so specific, the Nazarene believer, Jesus of Nazareth. And we're told by Paul the Apostle, there are many Jesus. They come in different forms, and we have to be very, very cautious. But Jesus rebuked him, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. And then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves. So that'd be like us here, that something happened, we start talking among ourselves, there's a buzz. For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately, there's that word again, his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. They got the message out to everybody. So now verse 29. Immediately, or now as soon as he had come out of the synagogue, as soon as, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. I'd like to point out the simplicity of this story. Number one, they're leaving a gathering of believers, Jewish believers, in the synagogue. But note they're talking, they're fellowshipping. And if you were to go to Capernaum this evening, you would see a synagogue that is there. And it's a good-sized synagogue, actually. It's the remnants. It's not a complete building. It's got the columns still up. And you could get a lot of people in this particular synagogue. Now, I'm not absolutely sure that's the exact synagogue, but it is a synagogue. And to walk from what they say is Peter's house, he had beachfront property on the Sea of Galilee, would be 100 paces maybe at the most. So it's very close here to the parking lot. And a lot can happen between going to church and getting home.
If you'll join us again at the same time on Tuesday, we'll continue our Through the Bible studies in the book of Mark with our teacher, Mike McIntosh, here on Chapter and Verse. Once again, I'd like to remind you that podcasts of Chapter and Verse teachings are available to download. That's right, you can have Pastor Mike's weekday teachings downloaded through this service, and you won't miss a minute of these messages. Podcasting of Chapter and Verse, it's easy and it's free. Just go to our website, MikeMacintosh.com, and under the teaching link, you'll see podcast. There you'll find simple step-by-step instructions so your device will automatically receive each day's message from Chapter and Verse. Your life takes all kinds of unexpected turns. Now you can take Chapter and Verse teachings with you wherever you go. Podcasting of Chapter and Verse available at MikeMacintosh.com. Tune in next time as we continue our look into the New Testament and the Gospel of Mark with our teacher, Mike McIntosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.